twice a week. And it was more a blessing when I'd look and see a smiling face of one of our own people there. And they say now they got a gun. They can do it clear across the room. I don't know if we get updated with that. And just point it at your forehead and check you out. Don't even have to stick it in your throat. Life's wonderful. You ought to be alive at times like this in these exciting times. I want to talk about the cross this morning of Jesus Christ. Actually, I said it could include and just say his crucifixion, because the whole charade of what went on was a punishment from beginning to end. And the cross itself was meant to be that. It wasn't meant to be just kill somebody. It was meant to punish them and make them suffer as they were dying. That's what it was about. In John 12:24, Jesus said this, predicting his death and ours and the spiritual part of us. And I've said this a few times, and I'm sure you've heard it, but I'm not sure we fully understand it. We're not really going to live for Christ until we know how to die to self. Does that make sense? Do you understand that? There's a spiritual experience that we have to go through of saying, life's not about me, and this new walk I have with Jesus is not about me, it's about him. And when he said that in John 12:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. So Jesus is saying for the Christian, the actual death brings out the greatest thing. And when you die and when I die, will people be saying that about us? Not about us, but our life and what it meant to them and what it meant to this world. I sure hope that mine would, and it wouldn't be a wasted trip that God put all of his energy and all of his safety. Those songs were very well thought out and picked. I thought every one of them had a message in it this morning that's kind of aimed and zoomed into this. But we have to think about life in that capacity, because some go early and some go late. As a matter of fact, they had a news report, maybe you saw it, a 90-year-old woman in her 90s, I don't know, has got the coronavirus, and she's almost through it, and just healthy as she can be and happy as she can be. So God can defy all the prophecies of man and all the thoughts of man. I'm not saying we all should say, oh, well, if a 90 woman can live under it, I can live under it. Sometimes it doesn't work that way. But he also said in Matthew 16:21, when he was telling his disciples and trying to prepare them for the time he'd get to the cross, he said, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things as the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and raised again the third day. And there is no resurrection without the crucifixion. And there's no crucifixion without a willing, because they didn't take Jesus' life. He gave his life. He willingly did that. He said, I must needs go. They were telling him, stay away from Jerusalem. They're trying to catch you and kill you. He said, well, that's what I came here for. Why run from the mission? I'm going to the mission. So first of all, we want to talk about some of these things of the cross and get it in perspective. And it's wonderful that we sing about the beauty of the cross, but the beauty is not in the physical picture of the cross. Because if we saw it, it wouldn't be a silver medal hanging around our neck or on our mirror in the car, rearview mirror in the car. It would be a rugged piece of wood, splintered and blood spattered and rough, and nail holes in where he was nailed to it. And actually, he was nailed through his wrist, so they had a strong enough bone to hold him there, instead of where the hand would tear out and come off. In the same way with the ankles, they were put together, and then a spike threw both of them together. So it was a very, very tough way to die. And as I said, they meant that. And we think about today how we want to, first of all, we don't want to execute people. We're just so sensitive about that. I think about how many babies have died since Roe versus Wade? And where are the voices that are crying out? Where is the people that's trying to stop that? You know, we got to get things in perspective and see what kind of world we're living in. And, you know, if you go out here and kick a dog, they'll probably lock you up and you never get out. But you can do all this other stuff. So we don't have our minds focused the right way. But this cross was meant to be punishment for an evildoer. They didn't see Jesus as Jesus Christ. They didn't know that it was part of God's plan to take him and crucify him and his blood would be there and that he was willingly allowing this to happen. He said that to Pilate, did he not, in the scripture I read? You think you could do something to me? The only thing you can do to me is what I let you do. I'm willingly giving myself to this cross. I'm willingly giving up my life. It's not your power. And, of course, thinking about Governor Wolf saying he's going to close things, and then he got in trouble. Now he says he's backing up, and he's waiting to see. And it reminds me of the governor and Pilate the same way. He was cowardly. He didn't know what to do. He couldn't make a decision. He said, what do you want me to do with Jesus? He could have said, we're not doing anything. This man is innocent. He's innocent. How can you say a man's innocent and then turn him over to a mob and let him crucify him? That doesn't make much sense, does it? That shows poor leadership. I guess Governor Wolf will be in the same position Monday morning. I don't know from what I hear, but that stuff. The first thing we want to see then is the cruelty of the cross. And I could stand here from now till the end of time and paint a picture of that cruel cross and what was happening. The very first thing that we read was that he scourged him. We think, what's that? It's a whip, and on the end of that whip is either bones or stones with claw-like, and the guy who runs that whip is a master at it. You strike it out and jerk it, and it sinks into the flesh and then pulls the flesh from the bone, and blood runs and more. 39 stripes goes on his back, and he's already bleeding. They put the cross on him and jam it down on his head. So he hadn't even got on the cross yet. And they're smiting him on the face and slapping him and cursing him and saying all these things from him, about him. So notice in the verses that we read, then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers planted a crown of thorns and put it on his head. Then they put a purple robe on him. They're mocking him. The fact that he was said he was a king. Oh, if you're a king, let's see what you can do. Kings should have some power and authority. And they said to him, verse 3, Hail, the King of the Jews. And they smote him with their hands. And Pilate therefore went forth again and said to them, Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him. As I said earlier, how can you say that if you're authority, you're a judge making a decision, on one hand, I find no fault. On the other hand, okay, we'll give him to scourging. We'll give him to the people and let them do whatever they want to do. Oh, and by the way, we don't have it in our notes today, but we got another guy. We've got to turn some people loose. Turn Barabbas loose. And he was probably a thief and a murderer. So they turned him loose. I wonder how he felt when he realized that he'd got free and that guy's being crucified in his place. That's the way we should think about it. Every one of us in this room, because the Bible says the wages of sin is death. The Bible says the soul that sins surely die. We should have died on that cross. It should have been you and you and you and you and me. And Jesus stepped in and took our place. That's what the cross is all about. He willingly, because God had already ordained that the payment, and God had to be a just judge. He could not let us go. There had to be a payment made. And Jesus said, I'll take the payment. I'll stand in his place. I'll stand in your place. And that's what he's done for us. Isn't that a marvelous thing to think? And of course, we call that grace and mercy. So we see the cruelty. Get that in your mind throughout this season, that it wasn't a beautiful thing. The beautiful thing was that he took my place and I could go free. I can walk and I can sing with that song that we were singing, the beauty of Christ and the fact that he died for me. Number two, we see the certainty of the cross. There was not going to be any maybes, or if he stayed on there for a while and didn't die, he could go free. The certainty of that cross was death. That's what it was about. And the certainty of our cross, if we take up our cross, as he said, and follow him, is that we die to ourself and become alive for him. In verse 16, 17, 18, and they delivered to him to be crucified, and they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Golgotha, where they crucified him and two with him. And they put him on in between two thieves. So they didn't see this as a righteous man being crucified. They saw this as somebody who's trying to wreck the government. Somebody's trying to overthrow the government. He made himself a king. He's trying to take Caesar's place. He's trying to get a following after him. That's what they saw when they were crucifying him. In the other Gospels, when Pilate was washing his hands, he said, I'm free of the blood of this man. They said, the Jews said this, let his blood be upon us and upon our children and children. And when all that fighting is going on over there between the Jews and the Muslims, I wonder if they really go back and remember what was said. We don't want him. We'd rather have his blood on us than to have him. So the certainty of the cross, and it was meant, as we've said, to be punishment and bring about death. Finally, not instantly, as the electric chair, or the gas chamber, or whatever we do. As I said, we probably don't do anything anymore because, oh, that's just too harsh. And somebody can kill babies. Somebody can rape a 90-year-old woman. Come in this country illegal and rape and kill a 90-year-old woman, and we got to spend thousands of dollars deciding what to do with him. Isn't that amazing? Absolutely, utter amazing. God said that if people did that, they should die. So it was also the certainty of a death and punishment. Number three, we see the creation of the cross was created to bring about a slow death. They didn't want it to be painless. They wanted it to hurt. They said in England, the history books teach us this, the real history, we don't talk about it much anymore, mothers would take their children down to the public hangings, and they had public hangings in those days, to kill, and even a hanging would be sort of instantaneously, I guess you'd live a few minutes choking and gagging and eventually die. But the mothers wanted their sons and their children to see what happened if you disobeyed or did something wrong. That's the theme of this. The Roman government, and of course they're using the Jewish high court, he was tried three times in both of them. That's six trials he went through, and each trial could find no fault in him. But they were to see, they wanted the people to see, you cannot mess with the authority. When Patrick Henry was being hanged, back when his country was early, by the British for being a traitor, he said, give me liberty or give me death. And we know the cross liberates us. So as to bring about a slow death. We see the Savior in John 19:28, and after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the Scripture might be fulfilled, he said, I thirst. Think of this. Get it in perspective with me, would you please? Here is the God of heaven who created every drop of water that flows on this earth. And he said, I'd like to have a drink. He's begging for a drink of his own water that he's created because he's dying. And his blood is flowing from him. And he's getting weak. And his mouth is dry. And he's saying, I thirst. And so as a mockery, the next verse says, now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it on a hyssop and stuck it to his mouth. Can't you imagine with a throat that's already burning and dry, who wants a touch of water? Then we see, number four, the carrying of the cross. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. So we each have our own cross that we are to carry for Jesus Christ. We're Christians, first and foremost. And we're not here to defy governments, but we are here to stand our ground if the governments think that they can push us around and tell us when and where we can go and have services. Quite really, we should not run every time the government says boo, right? We should stand and say we're Christian. And you don't own us. Our first allegiance is to God Almighty, the King. And then lastly, we see the compassion of the cross in Ephesians 2:13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. We sang that song, There is a Fountain. When Jesus had been resurrected, and one of the ladies saw him, and after she realized who he was, she went to touch him. He said, don't touch me. I have not yet ascended to my Father, because he would ascend to heaven. And I believe it's there right now. And as the songwriter said, there's a fountain there where he put his precious, undefiled, purified blood to take away the sins of the whole world. And that fount is ever pumping out the blood of Christ to every time a sinner comes. There's enough blood to wash him clean and make him justified in Christ by the blood of Christ, the righteous blood of Christ, the pure blood of Christ. My blood's contaminated. Yours is too. All of us in this room, especially we men that are over 40, they tell us you've got your cancer cells in your prostate. They start at that early age. You can control them, but you can't keep them out. As a matter of fact, I had a good friend I meant to tell you earlier, Brother Gene Cornelius. He just passed away. He's about 6 months older than me. We worked together at Southern Huntington. He was the AD there, taught there, worked there, was a coach there. He was a lay speaker. He preached for me in some of my churches. When I started out very early, I used to take meetings and try to pastor the church out there that we were building at Dublin Mills. And somebody, I think it was my wife did it this time, put me in Maryland preaching in the morning and up in Warren, Pennsylvania that afternoon. Well, it was kind of impossible to do. And I said, I don't have a video of myself to send to you, so I think I have got to kind of change this scenario here. But Jesus Christ stands in the place of all of us. But back to my story, Gene covered for me that Sunday night so I could go and make my other one and not be where I had planned earlier to be. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunged beneath that blood lose all their guilty stains. I like that all part. And you see, what sins are you talking about? He said, I don't remember them anymore. When he saved me, every sin that I ever committed and you ever committed was forgiven and taken away by the blood. Since that date, every sin that you committed and every sin that I committed has been taken away. Oh, the joy of knowing Jesus Christ. That will never be brought up in any judgment against me or you. The devil goes in daily, the Bible says in the book of Revelation, the accuser of the brethren, And he's saying, look at John Hodge. Look what he just did. Christ puts the blood over it and says, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? The same with your sins. And you don't have to go to a priest. You don't have to pay any money. You don't have to say to somebody, oh, pray for me. You can stop wherever you are and bow your head and pray on an airplane, in a store, in the back seat of a car, on a bus, in your bed asleep. When you wake up at night and think, oh, I did something horrible today. Dear God, forgive me. God says, sleep, my child. Sleep in peace. The blood of that old rugged cross is still atoning for your sins. Praise God for the cross. That's what the cross is all about. But when we carry ours, when we think about, and I think about it a lot, instantaneously, and then I get forgiveness of retaliating against people and things that they do to me. But that's part of the cross. When Pilate came in to Jesus, he said, where did you come from? Jesus didn't answer a word. He said, why don't you answer me? Don't you know I have the power to release you? Jesus smiled, said, I want to tell you, sir, you don't have any power except what I allow you to have. That's the only power you have. And in another of the Gospels, he said, at this very moment, I could call 12 legions of angels and set me free if I wanted to. Think of that. He could have turned those stones on the ground when he did into bread. He could have brought a gushing fountain of water up out of the ground and cooled his parched lips and says, hold it, guys, I need a break. But he didn't do that. Do you ever say that to God when your trials are going on? I do. God, I think I need a break. This is just a steady flow. When's the other shoe going to drop? God, can I have a break here? But he didn't do that. God could call it a halt if he wanted to. And if he doesn't, it's for my good. All things work for good to them that love God, that are called according to his purpose. I've been crucified to this world. Paul said, I die daily. That's what he was talking about. To this world, I give up to God and his power. So as we go through this season and we see the coronavirus and we see the results of all the hatred and all the stuff that's going on, I really liked our president. He becomes more statesmanlike and more presidential. He was in a news conference and one lady wanted to know why he called it the China virus. Come from China, duh. And so he answered her three times. He started talking to somebody else. She started talking. And before, a year ago, he'd say, shut up. But he said, quiet, please. I thought, how powerful. How powerful. I'm trying to get a book that a guy's written about him. And he's talking about his graduation into Christianity by salvation. And now how he's growing in grace and knowledge and understanding. And I think this whole synopsis. And they still try to attack him. But it's like God's got his shell around him. This is my man. Touch not my anointed. Praise God. But that's the way you and I have to live every day. Instead of saying, I'd like to just give it one right now. You know what I mean? I mean, maybe you're better than me. But those thoughts go through my mind. And in two things in that. First place, I'm not supposed to. Second place, I probably couldn't. I'd probably get myself in a big bunch of trouble, and you know what I mean. But do you know that old cross in your life personally? Has God done his work in your life by the cross? That atoning death, that eternal death, and every time it raises its ugly head and wants you to do something bad or ugly, you can say, Jesus, help me out. The cross provided my atonement and my cleansing. I pray you are. Let's stand for prayer. Almighty God, we thank you for the cross. We sometimes try to make it beautiful, but it's not a beautiful picture. It depicts dying. Lord, none of us will ever go to heaven until we get rid of this body, with its weights and its weaknesses and its humanity. Oh God, help us to live every day and walk in the shadow of that cross as we carry our own cross personally and live a life of dedication and sanctification and growing and trusting and believing every day that we do have a friend in Jesus, that God still is on the throne, and that God answers prayer, and God knows what's best for us, and God is working all things toward our good. Oh God, help us as a church. And Lord, my heart overflows when I look at the people that are here this morning and think of the people that still give their support to the church and to me. And as we move along, and that people whose lives are being touched by the live stream and other methods and our missionaries, thank you, Jesus, for all that you're doing for us. In thy precious holy name we pray. I'm going to ask Crystal to play through one time the invitation while heads are bowed and extend the altar. Would you willingly come, as Christians have done in the past, and get on your knees and stretch out your neck for the enemy to chop off and say, Lord, here I am. I want to be crucified to Christ and the world to me. I want to live for Jesus. I'll let you announce it.
God sent his son. They called him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. Empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone.
Morning. God bless you. And it is really looking like springtime. The yellow bush is out. The trees are budding out. And God is speaking to us. As the grain of corn falls in the ground and dies, then up comes the new life. And may every day it be in our life. That old man, the things I used to do, is crucified. May the good things of God come out of me. And people see and say, what a powerful God that can take a broken, decrepit body and make that good come out. But God can do that. Amen. Amen. Let's look to the Lord and be dismissed in prayer. Brother Ed, would you have our closing prayer?